In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. The Gospel tells us that the epilepsy afflicting the young boy was the action of a demon that had taken possession of him. But even if it was only a neurological illness, as the earthbound mind would believe, the Church recognizes it as unnatural, as is every disease and infirmity of body and soul. For we were created by God in His own image, which is Christ. This is the Christ who was transfigured on the mountain. In the transfiguration, we see Christ in His divine personal identity as the Son of God. However, He is not transfigured in His divinity. He is transfigured in the flesh. And He is transfigured as Adam, as us, except that He's the new Adam, the Son of God. As we read in Luke's genealogy, chapter 3, Adam, the Son of God. We see then in Christ's transfiguration how we were made to be by God, and not how we have made ourselves to be by the sins of our idolatries. For sickness and death are not natural to us. We understand sickness and death to be the products of death, the symptoms of death. And we read in the Wisdom of Solomon that God did not make death. He made the nations to be preserved, to live. He did not make death, which means He did not make sickness. Made like God, we came to be as children of God. And therefore, we came to be as gods, children of the Most High. And as children of the Most High, as children of God, even as gods, we are able by nature to become perfectly one with God, clothed with God as with a garment of divine fire. And so we are made to have absolute power over the devil and all his hosts and all his pride. So not only is the boy in this morning's gospel in an unnatural state, so also are the disciples who were not able to cure the boy. And so are we in an unnatural state. For we are subject to the devil through the passions, gluttony, anger, lust, envy, greed, vanity, pride, sloth, despair. When we give into these and we act them out, like the boy, we become epileptic. We lose control of ourselves. And like the boy in this morning's gospel, we are thrown around by these passions, wherever they want to throw us, sometimes into the fire, oftentimes into the water, whatever that means. We suffer from the passions that master us, not only in our body, but also in our soul. Not only in our soul, but also in our body. We suffer from these passions. They have a psychological, an emotional, and a physiological effect on us. They war against our mind, and they bring us into captivity to the law of sin. So as St. Paul says in Romans chapter 7, even if we want to do the good, we can't. And in this, we are just like the disciples. This morning, St. Paul sets himself and the other disciples before us as fools, weak, and dishonored. As the filth of the world, he says. And then he urges us to imitate them. So what did they do that we should imitate them? And why should we want to imitate them and become dishonored and weak and fools? Last Sunday, we saw the disciples getting into the boat, and they did so at the Lord's command. So they did it as an obedience. This morning, we see the disciples being commanded to pray and to fast. We put the two Gospels together, we understand that to get into the boat, to get into the church, and to begin building ourselves into the temple of God, this is done by mastering the passions, and we master the passions through prayer and fasting. In other words, in prayer and fasting, we are laying hold the mind of Christ, who emptied himself, became obedient to the Father, even to the point of death on the cross. And with the mind of Christ, we become, like the disciples, foolish, weak, and dishonored, because we want to become wise, powerful, and glorious in Christ by the power of his cross. For prayer and fasting, these are the arms of the cross. Or rather, taking from the Lenten Triodion, as we'll hear, what is it, the first Wednesday or Thursday of Great Lent. Prayer and fasting are the flower of abstinence that grows from the wood of the cross. In prayer, we turn the face of our heart toward God in order to follow Christ. This is the work of faith. It's work. Because in order to follow Christ, we must fight. We must fight to turn away from the idolatry of our self-love and our self-will, so that we can turn to face Christ in order to love Christ through obedience to his will and not to ours. There is no prayer then without fasting. In fasting, we are coming out of the city. In other words, we're coming out of the city in order to come into the desert place to pray, to be with Christ, because that's where Christ is, in the desert place. We're coming to Christ in the tomb of our heart. That's where the Lord stands on his holy cross in the glory of his resurrection. In prayer and fasting, we answer the call of the Spirit and his bride. We rise from the tomb of our heart. We take up our bed and we walk in the light of Christ's holy resurrection through prayer and fasting. So through prayer and fasting, we are binding ourselves. We are uniting ourselves, nailing ourselves to the body and blood of the Lord Jesus, the very body and blood in which he has trampled down death and destroyed the devil. Therein lies the power of prayer and fasting. Through prayer and fasting, the cross of our Lord becomes embodied in us. Its power becomes active in us. For we are uniting ourselves through prayer and fasting to Christ's death that puts to death all that is earthly in us, namely the passions. He washes away the law of sin that is in us, and he writes in our hearts the law of God in the coming of his Holy Spirit. And we are transfigured. No more a pagan temple filled with idols, but rather we become a holy temple of God, filled with the glory of the Lord Jesus. We are still babes in Christ. We are not full-grown adults. So we cannot expect of ourselves to do the spiritual work of those who have grown to the stature of adults in Christ. Yet even as babes, we must nourish ourselves on the milk of our mother, the church, and not on the food of the world. The milk of the Holy Church is the Holy Spirit. And so the milk of the church, even though it's just milk, it makes us strong. to fight the passions, and to break our captivity to the law of sin, so that we grow into our original beauty as God's children of the Most High. I would like then to offer some ways for us who are still babes in Christ to drink the milk of the church through prayer and fasting, by which we can nourish the seed of faith that was sown in us at our baptism and build ourselves into a temple of God. Dear faithful, let's build our daily, weekly, yearly routine on the foundation of the church's liturgical rhythm. Center your life, in other words, center your daily, weekly, yearly life on the services of the church. Saturday evening to Vespers, Sunday morning Divine Liturgy, and the feasts of the church. Build your daily, weekly, yearly routine on the foundation of the church's liturgical rhythm. That's a form of prayer and fasting. You are coming out of the city when you come to the church. You're fasting from the world when you come to the church. And you're praying when you come into the church. And when you come into the church, comport yourself in reverence. Dress modestly and respectfully to honor Christ, who is invisibly present with His Holy Mother and all the saints. Listen to the prayers of the church. Listen to them. They carry Christ. They carry Him. The power of the Holy Spirit is embedded in the prayers of the church. Absorb them. Make them your own. And when you do, you are receiving Christ. You're receiving that living word, active word that is sharper than a two-edged sword, that can penetrate to the division of soul and spirit and all the way into the tomb of your heart, and heal you and raise you to life and clothe you in the beauty of His Holy Spirit. Come into the church, light a candle, say a prayer. Light a candle as a prayer. Make the sign of the cross with prayerful attention. Keep the feasts and observe the fasting seasons of the church. Every Wednesday and Friday is a fasting day. And then on top of that, we have certain seasons of fasting in which we are preparing for the coming feast. Observe them. You don't have to go beyond them. You don't have to do more than them. Just observe the feasts and the fasts as they're given to us in the church. We should have icons in our homes that we venerate as we come and go. When we awake in the morning, before we retire in the evening, place the Bible where it is easily accessible, and next to it, the prologue that contains the lives of the saints and the readings from Old Testament. Read these daily, even, with attention. And you'll have to fight to read them with attention. That's a good thing. You have to fight to read them with attention. Don't let yourself just read them. Read them with attention. Beside these, place the Festal Manaean, the Lenten Triodion. Read and reflect upon these at home for the feasts, especially if circumstances prevent you from attending the feast at church. Say table blessings. Put together an Orthodox library, a library of good Orthodox books. Turn off the TV if you don't get rid of it altogether. It's been called the altar of the devil. I'll be happy to explain why, if you can't see it. Come away from the city. Fast from entertainments and aversions that evoke or inflame the passions. Such entertainments are a golden calf. They're idols of the world. Through the passions that they arouse in us, they keep us slaves to the idolatry of Egypt that we're trying to be delivered from. Fast from vulgar speech, from fantasies and vain imaginations. Learn to discern thoughts even that appear to be innocent, even good, and yet have the subtle effect of drawing your eyes off of Christ by feeding your vanity and your self-righteousness and blinding you to the beam in your own eye while you, thinking you're doing the Lord's work, are trying to remove the speck in your neighbor's eye. Make your home a sanctuary of quietude where you may hear the still small voice of God. In the love of Christ and His Holy Mother, surround yourself and your children with what is true, with what is holy, just, pure, beautiful, noble, so that this, and not the swill of the world, is what's nourishing and shaping our mind and our soul. Do your job that's in the world for the sake of Christ. So do it with integrity. Do it with responsibility. Do it with competence. As a ministry to your customers, your clients, or your patients, or your students. Brothers and sisters, see how the sacred work of prayer and fasting, even as milk, would shape us in the church's ennobling culture of grace and truth. Through baptism, we became children of God, heirs of the kingdom of heaven. We are divine royalty. Prayer and fasting is the milk. It so happens also to be the meat of divine royalty. Even as milk, the food of the church makes us worthy in the sense of strong enough to receive the inheritance of our baptismal birthright, which is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Drink this milk of the church, brothers and sisters, and we will grow in the Spirit naturally. By it, our souls will be transfigured naturally. We will attain the bearing of divine dignity and nobility, for we are being shaped in the Spirit of God, and this is the very principle of our nature. Even with the small baby steps of prayer and fasting, we are walking in the light of Christ. And so the muscles of our spiritual legs will grow naturally by divine grace in the power of the Holy Spirit, enabling us and empowering us to trample down all that is earthly in us by the death of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the milk of the church, working in us if we would just receive Him, if we would just take Him up in the ascetical disciplines of the church, all of these things that I'm describing. When we do these things, we are touching Christ. We are laying hold of Christ. We are receiving Christ, who is working in us to perfect us. He's wanting to make us perfect. Why? To do His will. And what is His will? He Himself tells us. It's that we should become perfectly one with Him, so that the love of the Father that is in Christ may be in us, and that even Christ Himself may be in us, in the love of His Father and of His Holy Mother. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Nos volete a toco, save us.